This is Nikki Glaser from the Nikki Glaser Podcast. On a more serious note, I'm still thinking about that commercial with Tom Brady and Snoop Dogg hating on each other. Because when you listen to the reasons for hating someone or something, you realize just how stupid they really are. There is too much hate in this country, and it's gotta stop. So join us at iHeart in standing up to it. If you see hate, speak up, call it out. And you can learn more by following at What's Up With Hate.
General Brown is and has been for many, many years. He has a 40-year career in the military. Nobody has found any fault with him because of his skin color. He has been declared DEI or woke.
Is that why you think the president has let him go, because he's black?
That's what I think.
Can the left at any point, can they just at any point stop with, it's not us, it's racism, sexism, ism? I mean, all weekend, and I have a couple of examples of this, but over the weekend I kept seeing this stuff, this nonsense too. I kept seeing the same exact nonsense. Well, it's because of race. They're not going to get it. They're not going to get it. And because they're not going to get it, I don't see how you have a successful party. I just don't see how you have a party that's successful and they can't remedy the problems, not just with their message, the problems with their policy, and then as a result, the problems of their messaging with that. And it's the only person that I have heard that's actually discussed anything around that is, gosh, I can't believe I'm saying his name twice in a 2-week period. Pray for me. His name rhymes with Schmames Marville. But he actually wants the Democrats to succeed, where I just want to point out how they're wrong and they're never going to, I don't want them to succeed because this is bad for everybody. So I like people, and people like James Clyburn too. I mean, that's really rich for him to say, because James Clyburn was the guy who said that Joe Biden got into the White House because James Clyburn made a deal with him and said, okay, well, if you're going to run for office and I'm going to back you and I'm going to save South Carolina for you, you're going to have a woman of color be on your ticket. That was like a huge understanding. Everybody knows this. Welcome to the show. It's Monday. I'm briefly in kind of a good mood. Briefly. I'm not really super Daria today because, Kane, it's 59 degrees. It's getting there. It's going to start getting towards a non-Arctic temperature soon. I'm tired of getting emails from my most beloved amongst you asking me if there are any turtlenecks left on God's green earth, or did I buy them all? The answer is yes, I did buy them all. Everyone's like, how many turtlenecks do you have? I have four black ones. Four. That's just the black ones. The gray, which is a color to me, I have other ones. You guys don't understand how cold it gets in the studio. We could do a whole segment on that. So, welcome. It's somewhat warm for now. Well, notice how we're not all enthusiastic about that. You can follow along everything. Substack, there's a lot of good stuff that goes out there on the reg. Lorraine has a piece up that just ran this morning about Eric Adams and some very interesting information about Eric Adams. Democrats hate him now, until they don't. And then, of course, the chat over at Rumble, and then you have the 347 DirecTV. I almost keep forgetting it, as however often we do it. I constantly forget the numbers. So, over the weekend, actually, I think it went out Friday, but the dust-up happened over the weekend. So you had 2,000 workers fired. They're all government people. If you didn't even know that there were 2,000 people at a certain department, does it really matter if they were fired, right? I mean, if you don't know, I don't know. So all those people have been put on leave. This is all USAID staffers, domestic USAID staffers all around the world. In fact, the employees were trying to file suit to temporarily block. They actually thought they were going to block the executive from using his authority in his office within the scope of his power. We voted for him to do this. So that happened on Sunday. So on Sunday, that is when it became official. It all kicked off. All these people were on put on temporary leave. So they're all livid. And they have people who refuse to do their job. Now, in addition to that, you had this email that went out it was something that Elon Musk had tweeted. He tweeted this, and apparently this was sent to pretty much every federal worker. Wasn't this like Friday towards the end of the day that this went out? But not the drama didn't really start till like Friday night and Saturday. So the issue with this is that Elon Musk sent out this tweet, and then this letter went out wherein he was sent, I guess he's sending this out through his Doge dudes, the Doge boys. Sounds like a Duran Duran video, does it not? He was sending out this. They sent out an email asking government employees, well, what is it that you've done? Like, what did you accomplish this week? What is it that you accomplished this week? Which seems like a fairly innocuous thing to ask, right? I'm pulling this tweet up right now, but Safari is being a butthat. So he said, consistent with Trump's instructions, POTUS's instructions, all federal employees will shortly receive an email requesting to understand what they got done last week. Failure to respond will be taken as a resignation. Now, before I go further into this, two things. I'm actually shocked that there was any pushback even amongst conservatives. Tell me I'm not the only one that saw that, right? Weren't there some conservatives pushing back against that? Did I miss something, Kane? What? Give me some kind of like libertarian conservative like attack on this. I don't get it. What am I missing? I was done doom scrolling through X, trying to understand the reasoning.
It was mostly heartstrings about losing income, but they have like a 6 or 8 month severance. It's not like we're just yanking their paychecks.
But the way that some people on the right, the way that they were saying this was that, how would you like it if your superior sent you an email saying, can you tell me some of the things that you got done last week? Been there. I just need to do a temperature check because it's been a weird weekend. I'm not out of touch, right? Because I'm used to that. And in fact, I don't even wait for an email. I will voluntarily, you know, tell everyone, this is what happened. And, you know, you laugh because he knows it's true. What's the big deal with that? What am I missing?
There seems to be a general hatred for accountability. I don't know.
Did they not work? Like, is it?
Yeah, they didn't.
Are these the TikTok people that, you know, did the song, you know, 5'3" in an attitude, 5'3"? Are these those people that are mad about this? Heaven help us. I'm trying to really figure this out because I kept seeing these. I saved some of them. I don't want to fight with that because some of them are friends of mine. And I was actually I gotta be honest, I was a little surprised. Like, can you believe that, you know, yeah, I understand why they would be upset over this. You know, it seemed like they thought it was impertinent for a superior to ask you what you've done. I don't know. I don't think that that's beyond the, I don't think that that's in any, I don't think it's bad to ask. I don't think it's inappropriate to ask. I mean, I'm just kind of shocked that people who work for a living, some of them apparently think that they are not expected to tell their superiors what it is that they did during the week. And it's like they feel, are they mad because it's Musk asking? Because it's not really Musk asking. Apparently it's something Trump asked Musk to do. So what's the problem? Now, here's where it gets weirder. All right. And I'm trying to interpret this. Now, the reason I'm approaching this so, how do I say this? In an unorthodox fashion is because I'm very sensitive to giving the media openings for division. I don't want them to seize upon something and think that this is a great thing to push for division. Now, I'm saying that there are already, and I'm pulling this up, you have Kash Patel and apparently Tulsi Gabbard who are not doing the emails. So Kash Patel was the first who apparently, I have three sources here, and they're all different. Two of them are conservative. One is Politico. That tells you everything right there. One of them says Patel has grown, has joined a growing list of department heads who have told their employees to ignore the request from DOGE. Gabbard sent a message to officials in her department saying, quote, given the inherently sensitive and classified nature of our work, IC employees should not respond to the OPM email. Secretary of State Rubio, SecDef Hegseth, by the way, does that not, how nice does that sound? SecDef Hegseth, I can't even say it. That should be like a challenge. Say it five times fast. SecDef Hegseth. He and DHS Noam have also told their employees to disregard them. Now, there's a couple of different ways to look at this. You could look at it as, okay, you understand that some of these departments are dealing with sensitive information, right? I mean, that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is maybe they are wanting to do this internally and maybe they don't need DOGE to do it. I don't know, but I'm not necessarily given in following the leftist narrative on this, in that, oh, these people, they're trying to make it seem as though there is a divide between Trump's picks and Trump and Musk, and they're trying to play up any and all of this. So I'm really hesitant. And then you have that. I mean, there's so much of this. Those are the departments. I can understand, you know, if it's DNI and that, right? I totally get some of that because it probably is some classified information and you would have to go through that process in order to be able to access it. I get it. We're going to talk more about this because, mark my words, the media is going to follow this and make it a huge thing. I feel like they're simmering it now. And then you also have the budget battle, the ongoing budget battle, which we're going to continue to follow. And is our government going to shut down? You know, we do have a deadline coming up in March as well. So we're going to get into all of that. Also, I didn't watch the Screen Actors Guild Awards because I have a pulse. And they brought up, who did they bring up? That old relic, Hanoi Jane. I'm going to tell you, nobody dislikes Hanoi Jane more than the Vietnam vets in my family. Oh my gosh. Not to sound like Joseph Joestar from Stardust Crusaders there for a second, but oh my gosh. She decided to make a speech where she railed at POTUS from the SAG stage, appropriately named. We're going to discuss all of that and more. We got a lot to hit today as we get you set up for the week and as we move. History shows gold and silver thrive under strong leadership. During President Trump's first term, gold surged 53% and silver soared 51%. With him back, could precious metals break new records in 2025 and beyond? In times of economic uncertainty, smart investors turn to assets that have proven their worth. Gold and silver have historically outperformed in volatile markets, making them a crucial part of any strategy for preserving and growing wealth. And that's why I trust the partners at Goldco. Secure your financial future today and don't wait until the next economic crisis happens. Goldco is a trusted leader in precious metals, and with over $3 billion in gold and silver secured for hardworking Americans, they've been a top-rated company from the start. Take action and partner with a company that puts your security first. Visit DanaLikesGold.com right now and get a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. On top of that, you could also qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver, possibly even more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Caliber Car Wash gives you more than just a quick rinse. It delivers a next-level clean. Right now, you can get your next wash for only $5. just text DITCHDIRTY to 22322 and enjoy savings on the best shine in town. Forget your regular neighborhood wash or the old soap in your garage. Caliber Car Wash goes beyond with high-quality service and unbeatable results. Ditch dusty dashes, muddy floorboards, and grimy windshields. Text DITCHDIRTY to 22322 for a $5 car wash and visit your local Caliber Car Wash today to experience the difference.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Gosh, see, this is when I wish we could just like roll through tracks for our bumper tracks, because I really feel like that song is a vibe today. Roberta Flack, the Grammy-winning singer known for Killing Me Softly with his song, has passed away at age 88. So you know what this means, guys. My grandmother, Granny Skaggs, is rule of three. Who else is going to kick the bucket? Taking bets now. If you want to contribute, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but when you grow up with a super suspicious, super superstitious granny who lived and died by threes, this is something that you're just like groomed to look for, right? I don't know how else to put it. So Roberta Flack, age 88. So now who else? That's the way to see it. So this is interesting. This is a Newsweek piece. I don't know. I didn't deep dive into this. I'll be honest about it. But there's this headline saying that violent crime committed by women has soared in California. I actually believe it, because I think a lot of women, especially with the empowerment of the matriarchy, I think women are more aggressive now than they ever were. And I think a lot of it's diet, if I'm being really frank about it. But they said that traditionally, violent crime has been overwhelmingly male-dominated, but now women are more and more actually the aggressors in violent crimes. Yay, look, ladies, you achieved equality. Great job. I knew you were going for number one for something. Is that too mean? I'm going to come back to that headline. Is that too mean? Because it's not. It really doesn't feel like that to me. Orlando could start to resemble the Jetsons with flying cars from the airport site as soon as 2028. I can't think of anything worse. I can't. Have you seen people drive? Look, Florida, I love you to death, but y'all can't drive. Nor can the people in Texas. No, I'm not defending nobody. The only people who could actually drive well are Missourians. I really do believe it. There's something about Missourians that they're fearless, but yet they have some caution, just enough to stay alive. So anyway, they're trying to do these flying cars, like Jetson style, from the Orlando International Airport. Would you get on that? They said that the landing pad for the car is called a vertiport. And they're looking at March 2028 for like the finished service. That does avoid gators. I will say, when you're in the air, there's no chance you're going to encounter a gator. So I'm actually intrigued. Apple is going to spend $500 billion. They're expanding. They're also going to hire 20,000 new American workers at an AI factory in Texas. They're trying to beat Trump's China tariffs. Very interesting. We have a lot more on the way, including MSNBC has a new lineup. Huh, interesting. We'll talk about that. Tax Network USA understands what it's like dealing with the thugocracy that is the government, the IRS. And they want to help you deal with it, because the IRS has just been more emboldened under the previous previous administration. They've been sending out all these pay up notices. I mean, y'all know there's a reason why stereotypes exist, because they're true, right? So getting ahead of everything is the smart move, but never do it alone. This is why you need the team at Tax Network USA. Not all tax resolution companies are the same, and that's evident in the fact that the team at Tax Network USA has resolved over $1 billion in tax debt. They have delivered real results for their clients nationwide. Whether or not you owe $10,000 or $10 million, Tax Network USA's tailored strategies are designed to settle your tax issues in your favor. They have a preferred direct line to the IRS, meaning they know which agents to deal with and which ones to avoid. These are risk-free solutions. It can be really stressful dealing with them. So you want to protect your financial security with guidance from pros who've been there and done that repeatedly. Stop the threatening letters. Stop looking over your shoulder. Protect yourself from property seizures and bank levies. It's free. Schedule a complimentary consultation. It's free to do this. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit TNUSA.com/Dana. Don't let the IRS's aggressive tactics control your future. TNUSA.com/Dana.
If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber car wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership. Caliber Car Wash gives you more than just a quick rinse. It delivers a next level clean. Right now, you can get your next wash for only $5. Just text Ditch Dirty to 22322 and enjoy savings on the best shine in town. Forget your regular neighborhood wash or the old soap in your garage. Caliber Car Wash goes beyond with high quality service and unbeatable results. Ditch dusty dashes, muddy floorboards, and grimy windshields. Text Ditch Dirty to 22322 for a $5 car wash and visit your local Caliber Car Wash today to experience the difference.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
But what I've said very publicly, the Democrats need to play possum. This whole thing is collapsing. It doesn't need Elizabeth Warren and somebody screaming to pacify some progressive advocacy groups in Washington, which, by the way, I wish these people were just useless. They're actually worse than useless, that they're detrimental. And they never, ever learn to shut up.
One of the things that I find most fascinating about that little discussion with Dan Abrams and James Carville is that Abrams' people never once asked James Carville, will you please set your camera up to where we're not looking up your nose? That would be amazing. I mean, he's like sitting on a sofa looking down. And I think they're just happy to like get the conversation. So they didn't, you know, they didn't want to let good be the enemy of, or perfect be the enemy of good. So they just didn't tell him to adjust it. Is that bothering anybody else the whole time? Because I'm sitting there looking at this like, what in the world? Welcome back. Dana Lash at the bottom of this first hour. The chat's over at Rumble. And, of course, we're Channel 347, DirecTV, all that good stuff. I hear some of the stuff that Democrats have been saying. Where's the thing that I had over the weekend? I'm pulling this up. Because I don't think they've learned. And to that point, do they have a party? I mean, who is theoretically, there's always a party leader, right? So who is the party leader? Do they have one? Very curious. Just don't know. I mean, I don't know who they have. And then their talking heads don't do well in representing them. You had Eric Swalwell over the weekend. He said that his response to the Doge letter was, he repeated it five times, I fought fascism. I'm like, by being the fascist? That doesn't even make any sense. Nobody believes that you actually did anything like that. I don't know. I feel as though people who watch television and who get into, who follow along with like cable news commentary, I kind of feel like they're revolting in a way. I don't know if you saw over the weekend, who was it? Joy Reid. Her show's canceled. I feel like that's the show that's kind of the avatar for all Democrat commentary. And I don't feel like that's off base, right? Kane, wouldn't you say that that is pretty representative of the tone and the depth of a lot of leftist commentary is Joy Reid's show? And Joy Reid is just a miserable, miserable person. And I'm not even quite sure what the purpose of her content was. She didn't explain anything. She never dives deep on a particular issue. She just sits there and spews invective. And that's it. I don't know what she actually does or what commentary or coverage she actually provided that was in any way educational or enlightening. It just doesn't. None of her content was smart. It wasn't engaging. It was like an hour-long Maoist struggle session. and she screamed at everyone else, and she was just a pretty abrasive personality. And that network doesn't have a high bar anyway, but it was still embarrassing because that's all it was. And her commentary wasn't any different on television than it was when she was, you know, holding her camera, looking at herself, you know, when she's sitting in her house. I don't know. And there, her ratings were horrific. Her, and this, so this is kind of my point. Her ratings were so bad. The network is dealing with crisis after crisis. So the network president, Rebecca Cutler, apparently they were addressing, she was addressing the staffers of, I didn't even know what's her fate, Joy Reid's show was called The Read Out. Really? According to Status News, Cutler told staff, we're waiting to get a response from Joy and her team about how she would like, you know, to handle some of these things. And we want to defer to her on this. She apparently hasn't said any. She's been quiet on TikTok. I don't think she said anything on social media, has she?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't think she said anything on social media. But the, her, their ratings were in the toilet. They're not attracting viewers. I don't even know how you sell ads based on the ratings that she had. She was barely, so MSNBC total, during the hours of 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern time, they barely managed an audience of 734,000. We have more listeners than that regularly. Like, we have, from digitally and terrestrially, we have several million listeners, actually more than several, every day. CNN, get this, at the same time slot, from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern, CNN barely managed to net 522,000 viewers. That's unbelievable to me. How do you sell ads on that? I was thinking, I'm like, how in the world are you selling? I don't even know what their ad rates are, but I can imagine that they're pretty expensive. Nobody, the advertisers are looking at that thinking, well, what is the return on the investment of our ads, our ad dollars for this?
She was earning $3 million a year.
Oh my gosh.
So if her show was not generating at least that much, she's unfortunately a liability and a negative.
We have at a minimum seven times her audience every day. Every day. And we work with our different affiliates and we track things digitally, etc. So we have a pretty good idea based on hard data of our audience. We have actually over seven times that. She made $3 million. Your girl didn't make $3 million. I'm not complaining. I'm happy. But I'm just saying, for the purpose of showcasing how tone deaf MSNBC is, that's pretty crazy.
And don't forget, they back in December, they actually did a salary cut for some of their larger earners.
Yeah, and they had part of that. Oh, what's her face? Maddow, right? Yeah. She had a big pay cut, and that was big news.
I think Joyless got a pay cut as well.
So think about this. People aren't wanting to watch, and they don't want to watch it. And those are the places that everybody knows. Even if you're not super into politics, you know Fox is right leaning. MSNBC is left leaning. CNN's left leaning. CNN, I think, for the optic of being able to say that they have conservatives or independents, they, I would say, aren't as far left as MSNBC, but they're still pretty left. And that's not a rescue. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that they're not left or that they're soft on, they're super far left. But when you watch MSNBC, it's like Mao came back from the dead and programmed them. I can't even, for purposes for the show, to talk about their content. I can't sit and watch it. I just, I'm like, if there's clips, we'll do that. I just cannot. I can't watch it. It's so heinous. So I'm not surprised with this. But I don't know how that network stays and does what it does. A friend of mine was telling me their ad rates aren't as expensive as Fox's are, but they're still pricey, obviously, especially for that primetime slot. This is the kind of stuff she did. So Audio Somebody 21. No one on the left thinks this, except for her. Listen.
I mean, this really was an historic, flawlessly run campaign. She had,
oh my gosh,
Queen Latifah
what?
Never endorses anyone. She came out and endorsed. You know, I mean, she had every prominent celebrity voice. She had the Taylor Swiftie. She had the Swifties.
See, that's what
she had
accounts
the Beehive.
For flawless
like,
to
you
her.
Could not have run a better campaign in that short period of time. And I
actually, you could have. In fact, you could have not only run a better campaign, you could have run a better candidate, and your party could have done everything better. I mean, that's just, who says stuff like that? When you come out, even if you're on the left, and you are bailing out a candidate to such a degree that you're debasing yourself in the face of reality, people don't want to believe you, and you lose stature in their minds. Why do they seek out your analysis on something if you're just going to blow smoke up their backside? You know? And as Kane noted, I don't know, their whole approach to programming is call everyone who doesn't think exactly like them Nazis and racists and sexists. Even if you're a person of your color, you know, for a minority and you're a conservative, oh my gosh, you're a Nazi, racist, sexist. Doesn't matter what your skin color is. That's just how it applies to you. So a couple of other, I'm going to move on and get some of this other stuff in. So let's see. All right. So like I said, I didn't watch the SAG award stuff. Didn't watch any of that. Jane, we were talking about Hanoi Jane a little earlier, who went up. This is audio soundbite 25. She went up and she was ranting about Trump, and then she talked about, I don't think she knows what empathy is. Go ahead and play this.
Make no mistake, empathy is not weak or woke. And by the way, woke just means you give a damn about other people.
No, it doesn't. That's not what it means, Jane, but that's okay. I'm not going to have like the woman who gave aid and comfort to the enemy during the Vietnam War sit here and lecture everybody else as to what is or is not empathy. Please, Barbarella. We're not doing that. Nobody's going to sit here and get lectured by you of all people about that. But she went up, and I don't know why. She says that Hollywood needs to fight these fraught times with empathy. So what they believe, empathy is calling again everyone who doesn't think exactly like you racist, sexist, Nazi. That's their idea of empathy. Because they said, oh, we have to, you know, tell, she said in her full remarks, she's like, we're actors, we create empathy. You know, we have to understand other humans so profoundly so we can touch their souls. I don't know. Maybe they tugged on her brain too hard when they were lifting her face up out of her breasts. I don't know. But, you know, come on. Nobody believes this. And then she goes on this spiel about Trump and people who voted for Trump, etc. Go back and look at how the left ran off the normies. That's when they lost this election and they lost the fight in society because people don't want to be around somebody who bitches and moans all the time. You guys know, like, negative people drain you. They drain you. I cannot stand super negative people. I don't have nothing to do with them. They're energy vampires. They drain you. And that's how the Democrat Party is. It's an energy vampire. They just drain you. Everything is somebody else's problem that they didn't have anything to do with, even if they did. There's no accountability. There's no culpability unless it's something they think that they can use to their advantage. There's no consistency. And the stuff that they focus on, I've been saying this since 2016, even before then. You know, I remember when I was covering the election, election night 2016, and I'm in New York, and I was kind of, I can't remember who it was. I was going back with a Democrat operative. And he was saying that his argument was that, well, Trump just might be a little better at messaging to blue collar. And I interrupted him at some point. I think Mike Huckabee was sitting in between us. And I remember saying to the effect, he just looked shocked. I'm like, that's not it. That is not it. The problem is that you guys forgot what it's like for the average everyday person. You guys have no idea what regular people are dealing with. They have no idea how people are struggling when they go and buy groceries. They have no idea how people are trying to figure out, okay, well, what am I going to pick in life? Am I going to pick to pay my health care bills? Am I going to pay help with my sick parents? Because now we're seeing more and more people in the sandwich generation. Are we going to pay for a kid's college or trade school or something like that? I mean, they're trying to figure out how they're going to be able to sustain themselves, raise their kids, care for their parents. They're in a bit of a pickle. And Democrats have done nothing but call everybody names and bitch about Trump. And they've done that since 2016. And I remember sitting there that election telling this operative, I'm like, this is what your whole campaign has been about. Has been about how much you dislike Trump. People can't eat on that. They can't balance their checkbook on that. They can't pay their mortgage on that. They can't send their kids to college on that. They can't get a job on that. They can't retire on that. So how about you get something substantial and maybe reconfigure your party platform and try running on actual issues instead of bitching and moaning? And they were just shocked. I remember that there was just like when we went, I haven't seen him too much, but when we went back to the green room on break, because they brought us out in panels, he didn't say anything to me. I don't think he liked my answer too much. Well, that's not my damn problem. That's your problem. And you still got it. And it's worse than it was before. Strength and vitality inside and out. Native Path Collagen delivers the two most essential collagen types that your body needs to support strong bones and flexible joints. With type 1 and 3 collagen without unnecessary fillers, you'll enjoy smoother movement, resilient skin, and the confidence that comes with looking and feeling your best. You'll love Native Path Collagen because it'll keep your joints feeling strong and your skin looking smooth. And you can use it daily in your morning coffee to start the day feeling your best. And best of all, Native Path offers incredible bundle deals that let you stock up and save big. So you can grab a 3-pack or even a 6-pack at a fraction of the price compared to other collagen brands. And it's the perfect way to stay consistent with your daily collagen routine while keeping more money in your pocket. Visit getnativepath.com/Dana today and stock up on Native Path Collagen for up to an incredible 45% off, plus get free shipping. Every order comes with a 365-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it risk-free today.
Caliber Car Wash gives you more than just a quick rinse. It delivers a next-level clean. Right now, you can get your next wash for only $5. Just text DITCHDIRTY to 22322 and enjoy savings on the best shine in town. Forget your regular neighborhood wash or the old soap in your garage. Caliber Car Wash goes beyond with high-quality service and unbeatable results. Ditch dusty dashes, muddy floorboards, and grimy windshields. Text DITCHDIRTY to 22322 for a $5 car wash and visit your local Caliber Car Wash today to experience the difference. If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber Car Wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
These people are just idiots. I'm at the point where it's become really hard to have an intellectual debate with any of these people because the level of stupidity that they are displaying every single day is frankly embarrassing, not just in Congress, but as Americans. And the fact that these people are allowed to say just the most ridiculous things tells you that the dumbing of the United States has arrived, because
that we're allowed to say things like, what, why did you marry your brother? Because you did. Like that, stuff like that.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, she's part of this problem. I mean, she's part of the problem. One of the reasons why the left can't have decent conversations is because of the stuff that she says and the stuff that she does. So that's pretty rich, trying to throw that back on everybody else. Goodness. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Man, the left is not happy about Kash Patel. Why do they hate brown people, man? Why is the left so racist? No, these are the rules, suckers. We're going by your rules. You don't get to change them now. Oh, hail, H-A-I-L. No, we do not get to change or not. Why is the left so racist? Why do they hate brown people? Why? Kash Patel, head of FBI. The left is like apoplectic because he is a person of color. And remember, the left thinks that they own every minority, whether it's like a sexual orientation thing or skin color or whatever. They think that by way of not being a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, that you are owned by the left. So see, they still practice modern day slavery, even if it's just, you know, they can't enforce it. It's just that they have to be content with it being ideological now. But that's the left. I mean, I don't know. I keep seeing their reactions that only you guys realize this. They don't. That's not helping them. What is the left doing? That's not helping them. The stuff that I see them saying about Kash Patel. It doesn't make sense. What is there? Okay, they don't like him because he's conservative. You really can test how morally deficient someone is on the left when you see their inconsistency about this kind of stuff, where their only objection to somebody like Hash Patel is that he is a conservative minority. He's Indian and he's a conservative, or at least on the right. I don't know if he's conservative, but he's on the right at least. Just saying. We got a lot to hit. The Colony Ridge, you guys know that whole thing. We've talked about this before, actually, for quite a while. Apparently, Texas is now going after Colony Ridge. That was the whole, what would you call it? Like a prefab, like or a fabricated neighborhood that they were just like entirely creating for illegal immigrants. We're going to discuss that and more. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. Love this website. allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. That's the URL you need to save for forever because you can get 10% off and you unlock that with promo code Dana by visiting specifically that URL. So All Family Pharmacy, I've used them before. I will get medications that I need, especially if I'm traveling and I need something quickly. I can get it from All Family Pharmacy. It's simple, it's fast, and it's affordable. And all of their medications are made right here in the US of A, ensuring high standards of quality and safety. So you're not getting Chinese medicine overseen by the CCP. This is all USA stuff. They provide the prescriptions you need, so you don't even have to involve your doctor if you don't want to. It's healthcare on your terms. They have customizable orders, emergency kits tailored to your needs, and you order from the comfort of home. Everything is like, what, in 2 to 4 days? But you can also get stuff overnighted if you are in a pinch, as I was over Thanksgiving, because your girl was getting strep. And it was really tough, and I had to get that taken care of fast because I was hosting, and nobody wants to have a hostess that has strep throat. That's horrible. So make sure you save this website, allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. They have over 200 essential medications, including ivermectin, too, by the way. allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Unlock your 10% discount on your whole order with promo code Dana10. Again, that's Dana10 at allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana.
Caliber Car Wash gives you more than just a quick rinse. It delivers a next level clean. Right now, you can get your next wash for only $5. Just text Ditch Dirty to 22322 and enjoy savings on the best shine in town. Forget your regular neighborhood wash or the old soap in your garage. Caliber Car Wash goes beyond with high quality service and unbeatable results. Ditch dusty dashes, muddy floorboards, and grimy windshields. Text Ditch Dirty to 22322 for a $5 car wash and visit your local Caliber Car Wash today to experience the difference. If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber Car Wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership.
I just want to tell you a little story. So we're at the Eiffel Tower having dinner with your wonderful wife and with my wonderful wife. And we came out and he started speaking the French deal. And we didn't have an interpreter. And he was going on and on and on. And I was just nodding, yes, yes, yes. And he really sold me out because I got back the next day and I read the papers. I said, that's not what we said. He's a smart customer, I will tell you that. That wasn't exactly what we agreed to.
That is a very interesting exchange between Trump and Macron for a number of reasons. Welcome back, Dana Lash, with you, top of the second hour at 347 DirecTV. Also, the chat's at Rumble. Make sure you check out the podcast, too, the archives. The reason why I kept watching it, I think the viewing of it is more important than the hearing of it, because it's standard boiler, you know, just boilerplate. Like, oh, it's, you know, great, blah, blah, blah. And Trump is, you know, he's being a gracious host, and Emmanuel Macron's sitting there awkwardly. Now, I love reading people's body language, and particularly in instances like this, whenever you have these Oval Office get-togethers and you have these foreign leaders sitting there with POTUS. It's very fascinating to watch. So let's start with Trump. Trump sits like this regularly. If he is not, I'm going to sit back and cross my legs kind of guy. You know what I mean? Like, no, I'm not making fun of dudes who do that, but he is not the kind of guy who leans back in the chair, and he just doesn't sit like that. He sits up. He's usually, you know, ramrod straight back, sits up. It's like he's always conscious of how his jacket fits him. Have you ever noticed that with Trump? It's like he's very conscious about how his jacket fits. And he does that posture where he kind of rests his hands on his knees, right? And I went back and I was looking at some of the stuff with Macron. I don't ever recall him sitting like this, but he's mirroring Trump's language in this clip. He's sitting there and Macron is mirroring how Trump is sitting. So Macron is immediately taking the, I guess you could say, a beta position by mirroring Trump's language. And then he puts his hands together in this. I think he's aware of what he's doing because it looks unnatural. Like when Trump does it, it just kind of looks natural, right? Macron's hands, they look weird. He's trying to do the power steeple move. So I remember in college, and I actually had to take one of these classes. I went in for journalism, for crying out loud, journalism and political science. And it was very interesting how that we, because we spent like an inordinate amount of time on body language. So when someone feels confident or they feel like they're in an advantageous position, and this is particularly insightful for boardroom stuff, you got to look at how they're sitting and look at what they're doing with their hands. So the steeple move where one or all of the fingers, the hands are together and then they make this peak, is considered a power position for hands. And Trump does it naturally. Look, I mean, he's relaxed. He's like sitting forward, but yet his back is still straight. And Macron is kind of awkward. Like his, look at his jacket. If you're watching the simulcast, his jacket's kind of just, it looks weird on him. His pants even look kind of weird. It looks like they're bunched up a bit. Look at his sleeves in comparison with how Trump's sleeves are. And maybe I'm diving too deep into this, but I've seen other things, like especially when they first greet each other, Macron often waits a beat and kind of waits to see what Trump does and lets Trump take the lead on the tone and how he wants to greet him. And then Macron follows. You could say, well, that's just him being a statesman. I think it's because he is in a position of weakness and he knows it. And I feel like he's trying to telegraph otherwise by the weird placement of his hands, but it's too obvious because he's doing it because he's aware of it. And he's trying to telegraph a position of strength, but he's not. It doesn't follow up with the rest of his body language. It's just weird. Every time Trump would say anything, Macron just laughs at everything Trump says. You would think Trump is the funniest comedian in the world. I mean, Macron is so eager to make it seem like he finds everything Trump says funny and insightful. He is like right there. It's just weird, right? Am I reading too much into this game? I feel he looks weak. Macron looks weak.
I think body language is a decent thing to look at when you're looking at these world leaders when they get in front of the cameras, because you can tell a lot of this is practiced, you know, and probably advised by some people on their staff on how to be.
Yeah. I mean, Trump is just relaxed. And he's, you know, listen, Macron is, I mean, his veins are sticking out in his hand. He's tense. He looks tense. He doesn't look relaxed. He looks like he's not. And you know what? If I was the head of a country and I was losing power with my particular political party and the conservatives were gaining lots of ground in my country and people were dissatisfied and my economy wasn't as great as it was before I took office and I had an immigration problem partly because of my own doing, I'd probably be a little nervous about it too. And, you know, kind of waffling back and forth on Ukraine because you're trying to keep everybody happy because you don't have actual leadership. Yeah, I'd probably be a little bit uptight too. It's very different the way that these leaders are now reacting. And I feel like this is a trend that's been ongoing for some time. We're actually coming up at the bottom of this hour. We're going to talk to Matt Maurer over at the EU-US Forum, particularly on Ukraine and how you have Keir Starmer and now at odds with some of these other European leaders about the way that he thinks that he's like the outlier anymore. I really feel like Keir Starmer is kind of the outlier of all of these other leaders that are coming up within Europe. And despite the European media's best attempts to classify all of them as the next Mussolini, because that's anyone who is not a Marxist is the next Mussolini to them. Just very interesting. We're going to talk about some of that. All right. Also, we've got, we were talking about the letters, or the requests rather, sent out by Musk, these key agencies, and how they're wanting just simply some responses to what people are doing. Can you tell us what you've done for your job? And the left is absolutely freaking out. They're mad that they were asked this at all. They think apparently that they're above this and they don't have to be held accountable. And this was something that was in particular, it was from POTUS. It was POTUS's request, and Elon Musk was just merely, they're just merely carrying it out. Now, the media is trying desperately to poke some holes in the coalition on the right. Really saw this over the weekend with Kash Patel, when they're not trying to deny him agency because he is a conservative of color, or on the right and a person of color. They are looking at that, the email that I was just mentioning that went out to these federal workers. So the FBI, Kash Patel said, told his department to ignore DOJ's request pertaining to efficiency. It was called "What Did You Do Last Week?" That's the email. It went out, I thought it went out Friday, it went out early on Saturday. He wants 5 bullet points detailing their accomplishments at work in the past week. So Patel said no. He also countered with his own message, saying that the FBI is in charge of all of our review processes and will conduct reviews in accordance with FBI procedures. He added, when and if further information is required, we will coordinate the responses. For now, please pause any responses. Now, the way that some people are taking this, they're trying to act like this is a big slash at Musk. Even Daily Mail, which is kind of on the right, they're a little bit more right-leaning. They're still insufferable, but they're a little bit on the right of things. They had a picture of Kash Patel and the baby mama drama, as though to say that Kash Patel's allegiances are here and not with this. One of the dumbest things ever. You know how weird it is when you know everybody that's involved in certain things, and then you're watching the media story about it, the stories that are coming out, and you realize how much you hate the legacy press. You really don't hate them enough. They're desperately trying to figure out the, some kind of crack. Now, the email that was sent out, this is what it says verbatim. Subject, what did you do? What did you do this last week? Three sentences. First, please reply to this email with approximately 5 bullets of what you accomplished last week and CC your manager. Two, please do not send. That's boldened. That's emboldened. Please do not send any classified information, links, or attachments. Third, deadline is this Monday at 11:59 p.m. EST. So a lot of the stuff with FBI and the DNI is, you know, probably either sensitive or classified. So it makes sense that they would say, tell their employees, don't reply to this. That makes sense. But the media is trying to make it an apoplectic, you know, they're going to apoplectic. They're trying to make this a major issue. I still think that you can answer without giving any classified information. You know, that's something that you can do. But with him, with this, the media is going to ignore that entirely. They're already talking about some of the unions suing DOJ because they said that they're affecting federal employees' jobs. So that's the whole point, you absolute butthats, is to affect their jobs out of existence. You're right. Because we are the taxpayers voted for this. There's too many federal employees. We voted for this. It's what we voted for. It's what we wanted. So you can get mad all you want, but we literally voted for this. And I'm happy to see that it's finally getting done. But they're going to try so many different ways to look for any kind of crack in the alliance. And that's why I'm like, with some of this stuff, like, I, you know, read into it a little bit more. Because to me, I don't think that Tulsi Gabbard or Kash Patel saying, no, don't send any of this, that's not insubordination. They are well aware that the email says don't share anything classified. They're also well aware that, you know, they can handle the response. And I mean, I'm really sure they can probably just like walk right over to Doja's office and talk with them themselves. So I'm not really, Kane, I don't think that's a big deal. It's like trending though. The press is, they're like, oh, look at this. There's like a war brewing. Someone said, who was it? Oh, it was like a nobody over. I think it was like Axios or something had said it was a MAGA war brewing or a war brewing within MAGA or something like that. Based on that, seriously? I mean, read between the due diligence. They don't think that you're going to look. This is the problem with the media. They don't think that you're going to look at any of the stuff that we were just talking about. You're just going to look at the headline and be like, oh, wow, maybe there's something they really are fighting over. And then the seed of doubt's going to be planted in your mind. Any way that they can try to stymie the implementation of the agenda we voted for, that's what they're going to do. You know who else is out, by the way, over at MSNBC or NBC? Guess who else? Lester Holt. Dang. His first name is not Mo. Lester Holt is his name. He is out. I'm actually glad he is. I don't have any respect for Lester Holt. I know some people thought he was a more moderate debate host or more moderate debate moderator, but I got to tell you, I'm my perspective is clouded a little bit by personal experience when in my town, we were the first town to take to the ballot box the fight over our school board, and we won. It was before Virginia, before everybody. Patriot Mobile, by the way, that's my cell phone service. They're from here, and they were very active in helping these parents. It was literally just like a ragtag group of parents. There was no, you know, secret funding. In fact, one of the families that led the whole thing was Cuban. They're a Cuban family. The media refused to talk to them because they were Cuban conservatives. I kid you not. They didn't want nothing to do with them. You had a Vietnamese conservative family. You had, there were Muslim families. And then the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant conservative families. I mean, everybody was opposed to what they were doing to the school boards. NBC came out and per numerous parents in our parental group, they had their news trucks like driving through the neighborhoods getting B-roll. They tried going into one parent's home. They were having like a meeting about recruiting candidates, and they tried sending their cameras and a producer in one parent's home. They were here doing interviews with the opposition. People who didn't even live in this school district or pay taxes to our school district were held up as like leaders of the resistance, or however you want to put it. They really did our town a disservice. So don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you, Lester Holt. History shows gold and silver thrive under strong leadership. During President Trump's first term, gold surged 53% and silver soared 51%. With him back, could precious metals break new records in 2025 and beyond? In times of economic uncertainty, smart investors turn to assets that have proven their worth. Gold and silver have historically outperformed in volatile markets, making them a crucial part of any strategy for preserving and growing wealth. And that's why I trust the partners at GoldCo. Secure your financial future today and don't wait until the next economic crisis happens. GoldCo is a trusted leader in precious metals, and with over $3 billion in gold and silver secured for hardworking Americans, they've been a top-rated company from the start. Take action and partner with a company that puts your security first. Visit DanaLikesGold.com right now and get a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. On top of that, you could also qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver, possibly even more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber car wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month. And with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership. Caliber Car Wash gives you more than just a quick rinse. It delivers a next level clean. Right now, you can get your next wash for only $5. Just text Ditch Dirty to 22322 and enjoy savings on the best shine in town. Forget your regular neighborhood wash or the old soap in your garage. Caliber Car Wash goes beyond with high quality service and unbeatable results. Ditch dusty dashes, muddy floorboards, and grimy windshields. Text Ditch Dirty to 22322 for a $5 car wash, and visit your local Caliber Car Wash today to experience the difference.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently mad as hell, Canadians are canceling U.S. travel en masse as the trade war escalates. They said that Canadians are canceling their American vacations. And they said that they're protesting the impact of tariffs. You know, the reason that we're doing this is because we weren't being treated fairly. So you're mad that we were not being treated fairly. And we asked diplomatically for years your government to stop it. And then they didn't do it. And then you decided, we had to do what we had to do. And you're going to be mad and stomp your feet about it. There's enough of us to go vacation down to 38. We don't need y'all then, if that's how you're all going to be. No offense, we love you. But you know what? This is some tough love. Sorry. But they said that, it's going to cost the American I don't believe that a single one of these individuals that complain about it are actually not going to go. I don't believe you. I don't believe any of you. No, sorry. Don't. I don't. Gen Z is discovering that me time or vacation and calling it micro retirement. They're trying to figure out how to deal with. They've barely been in the workforce. God love them. God love them. They've barely been in the workforce. And they're like, we're dealing with burnout. You don't know what burnout is if you're saying that and you're under 30. Sorry, you don't know. They said that it's called micro retiring, taking extended. Most people would call that vacation, taking days off. That's important. Matt Maurer, EU-US forum, because Germany just suffered. They got their kneecaps hit by the conservatives there. Stick with us. And our partners that help bring you the program. It's our friends over at Kel-Tec, the PR 57 rotary barrel pistol chambered in 5.7, the latest from Kel-Tec. And it's all American made, great American story, the creation of Kel-Tec. And this 5.7 is the lightest 5.7 that's on the market. It really is, because I have 5.7s and I can't conceal carry any of them. I can't carry any of them because they're a little bit big for my frame. This, I actually can. It's 40% lighter than the next lightest 5.7, and they accomplish this through two ways. They have this innovative rotary barrel design, and then they also have a unique top loading design that replaces the traditional magazine with a stripper clip. No joke. So it's a slimmer carry profile, and you get a 20+1 capacity. It is built to perform when it matters most. Low recoil, simplicity, and reliability. That's what it's engineered for. It's great for everyday carry, and it is legit the quickest and easiest field strip available. MSRP is only $399, so this is one that you absolutely can afford to get. It's the first of its kind. Kel-Tec PR57 rotary barrel pistol chambered in 5.7, only at KelTecWeapons.com. Innovation performance, Kel-Tec, KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber car wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of the second hour on Monday. A lot of stuff to discuss. Been very, very busy, not just the administration, but also looking across the Atlantic and seeing what our friends and frenemies and neighbors and allies and however else you want to characterize it, what they've been up to. Because we had this dust up with regard to Ukraine. POTUS, I thought, was very straightforward with his messaging. And there were some European leaders that just, you know, like Keir Starmer and some others, well, he's outside of the EU, but Germany's leaders particularly had bristled at some of POTUS's messaging. Well, their voters bristled back, and they were whooped. The Germany's conservative, because conservative is different over there than it is here. But their conservative leaders are now taking. They're winning seats. They're getting power. And I've never actually thought I would see this. I kind of honestly had kind of written them off. I'm not going to lie. But this is huge. They're rejecting the super far left Marxist agenda that they have been peddled for the past like 10, 20 years. And now it looks like they're actually stepping up to secure their borders. We talked a little bit about this last time because they made the EU mad. They were trying to trigger this, I guess, clause within the agreement that they had, saying that they needed to kind of look at their own national security before they just start allowing unfettered immigration of people that aren't even entering illegally, and they can't ascertain as to whether or not they're coming in honorably. Like, are they giving correct information? So these elections were huge. We're going to talk about this in the Ukraine stuff with our friend Matt Mowers. He's been on the program before. He's founding member of the EU-US Forum, and he also served previously in the previous Trump administration. He joins us now. Matt, good to see you. I don't mean to sound like myopic about it, but I really was not expecting Germany's elections to be anything like what they turned out. And with conservatives, they're a conservative, you know, I guess they're right-leaning party taking power. It's just not something that I thought we would see, because, I mean, this is Angela Merkel territory. I mean, this is like the country that kind of kickstarted some of the illegal immigration crisis that we see throughout the EU. Talk to me about this.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, it started with Angela Merkel, who, you know, was, I guess, could be broadly defined as center right based on Germany's, you know, electorate and politics, but barely. Right. And it really continued under Scholz. And, you know, the Socialist Democratic Party has been in power now for several years, and you've really seen illegal immigration skyrocket. You've seen censorship and shutting down of free speech. I mean, even 60 Minutes did a special just a few weeks ago about these, you know, broad definitions of hate laws, where you've got, you know, the government going after individuals who are just expressing an opinion that may be contrarian to someone else. And these environmental policies. And this is all, you know, stemming off of a lot of their boneheaded decisions from years ago when the U.S. Was pressuring them in the first Trump administration, when he had folks like Rick Grenell, who were ambassador to Germany, telling them, hey, you should probably get off Chinese technology and you shouldn't be hooked onto Russian energy. And, you know, Merkel kind of poo-pooed them at the time. And then, you know, you saw that come home to roost in the last few years as well. And so it is incredible. I mean, you've now seen really a cratering of the left wing across Europe, and in its most recent iterative form is there in Germany. I mean, Scholz's party, and I think he's still sobbing right now, you know, 24 hours later, really took a collapse. This is their worst performance, I believe, in over 100 years right now. And you have seen a growth in support for both the center right, which is the CDU, mm-hmm. as well as the more conservative party, which is the AfD. And a lot of this really got started. And really a lot of the genesis really, I mean, it was brewing there already. But then when you had Vice President Vance go to the Munich Security Conference just in the last couple of weeks and deliver this, you know, really remarkable speech that he did, taking the Germans and really broadly this, you know, European bureaucracy to task for shutting down free speech, for having terrible environmental policies that shut down, family farmers, and really hamstring their ability to make smart energy policy decisions. You know, all these different issues, to take them on immigration, illegal immigration, the skyrocketing crime you've seen. I mean, you've now, and it's right in the heart of Germany, right? Yeah. Right before their elections. It's remarkable to see the change from his speech, you know, just within days ago to now the recent election results. It shows that there's really growing conservative thought in the European continent. Folks are fed up with the left wing that they've been seeing and the failure that they've seen in delivering their own lives. And they're finally willing to step up and speak out about it by casting their vote for a conservative party.
And it's, and you mentioned J.D. Vance's, Vice President Vance's speech over there. I kind of, you know, I had to chuckle because they acted as though they were shocked that he said this. Like, did they expect anything else? I mean, everything was working together. It was like an ingredients list of fabulousness. Everything was coming together at the right time. How did they think that there was going to be any other kind of message delivered but the one that he delivered? It made me worry about what kind of leadership they were providing for their own constituents if they expected something else than what he said to them at that meeting.
Well, look, I was in the State Department, so I've had to go to a bunch of these international meetings. And I'll tell you, traditionally what happens is everyone shows up and they all have their coffee.
No one rocks the boat.
They move off to a lunch, and then they move off to a nice little conversation, a round table, and bilateral meeting where it's a bunch of talking points where they say basically nothing except, you know, we look forward to further economic and military cooperation, but no one knows what that really means.
Right.
And like nothing really ever gets said. And so it's refreshing. And I get it. Maybe we have a little bit of an American bias where we actually like to, I don't know, talk about real issues and do things instead of just, you know, make noise and spout off a bunch of hot air about things. But what we saw was J.D. Vance really address the big elephant in the room, which is the fact that if we are going to continue to have this relationship between the United States and you know, traditional Europe in the way that we've had for a long time now. And, you know, often served both of us well. We got to start aligning our values on it. We can't just talk the talk and start talking about the latest weapons purchase and all that, which, by the way, they should also be doing. But Europe was behind the eight ball and all of that for, you know, decades as well. But they've got to start getting serious about addressing the needs of their own people. And, you know, it's amazing to me, you know, you had all these bedwetters essentially sitting around saying, I can't believe he said these things. J.D. Vance clearly is in better touch with the constituents of Germany than their own current chancellor and Scholz was.
Yeah.
Because what we saw were voters vote the way J.D. Vance would have voted, likely, had he been a citizen of Europe, not the way Scholz would have. And so I think it's really telling that for all the hand-wringing from the, you know, global bureaucracy that you kind of saw, you know, present in Munich and everywhere else, and all the commentary after his speech, that he was the one who actually could identify the true underlying concerns of the European citizen in a way that, like, the EU-US Forum's been talking about. I mean, Dan, you were with us at our kickoff event about a year ago now, and it's all the same issues we've been talking about now that we've seen across the continent. Unchecked migration leading to crime, and particularly in Germany.
Bad.
Particularly in Germany, you've seen statistics that show, you know, nearly 50% of the crime committed, violent crime committed, by someone who's a migrant. I mean, you know, this is the type of thing that eventually citizens are saying, this is impacting my life. This, the politicians are ignoring those concerns. It's time for a change. And that's what we saw in Germany this weekend.
Exactly. I remember the videos that they had to put out, and this was like maybe 10 years ago when they were doing like the song and dance, trying to instruct people that they were bringing over and housing like near German schools and all of this. Like, you can't just touch females without permission. And they had to do this whole choreographed thing. And it was a weird, and everybody talked about this weird viral video and how it was kind of amusing. But at the same time, it was sort of terrifying that they had to basically devolve down to that point to try to protect their own constituents. And there are videos out like every single week of people being assaulted, accosted. You know, I mean, I think you had even I think the EU-US Forum had even tweeted one out. We're talking with Matt Maurers, who worked in the previous Trump administration and also is with the EU-US Forum about all of this. Because Vance, you know, he was talking about the threat from within, you know, the threat against speech and the threat against rights. I mean, to say nothing of, you know, the kicking and screaming that we've heard from a lot of these leaders, just in pain, you know, just the bare minimum of GDP for their own defense per NATO. Because now we have this, I feel like we're having more productive conversations on Ukraine now than we did, obviously, under the previous administration, with the exception of Keir Starmer, I will say. But that's sort of also shown the cracks in his party's decision and their decision making and their goals with Ukraine, as opposed to, you know, now Germany's got to rethink all of this because now the conservatives are coming into power. Macron's, you know, quickly losing popularity and seats. So all of this is shifting. What does that mean for the United States and how we're viewing this conflict? Is Europe actually going to stand up and say, no, we're going to take the lead on this for once and we're going to deal with this, and United States, you can back us if you want? Because it doesn't seem like they're going Starmer's route.
No, you're not going to be able to see them step up and lead. They're seemingly incapable of doing that. But what they are going to have to do is actually do something. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, with the exception of the fighting that's happened on the ground, mm-hmm. right, which obviously has been well documented, from a diplomatic side, there's been essentially no movement since the start of that conflict.
Yeah, it is weird.
You know, no one's engaging on either side. I mean, everyone's having the same meeting and everyone's having Zelensky over and everyone's going off to meet with them. But there's no actual progress towards a diplomatic solution on any of that. It's just a lot of the same conversation year after year after year. So what President Trump has now done by kind of reorienting and reshaping the conversation is actually at least forcing the Europeans, even if they're not going to want to do it exactly the way that we are, to at least recognize that something has to change. They have to find a new way for engagement, that they have to step up and actually invest in their own collective defense as well, which, by the way, is good for them. It's good for us. It's good for Western security.
Yeah.
If they do that. And so, you know, by President Trump kind of really grabbing the bull by the horns and changing it up, he's forcing a conversation now. You know, we've seen probably more movement diplomatically in the last 2 weeks than we've seen in the last 2 years as a result of what's happening. And that's a good thing. If we're closer to finding a way to get about a long-term peace agreement, that's good, right? That's why diplomats exist. That's why, you know, you want to engage. And so, you know, if we want a pathway to peace, which everyone claims they do, you ask the Europeans, that's what they say their goal is. But they haven't done anything until the last few weeks. about actually trying to get there.
That's a really good point. They have the photo ops and they have Zelensky out, and it's like the same pictures and the same conversations, and nothing's changed, you know, for some odd years. Now there's a lot of things changing, and I don't know, it just seems like the pieces of the puzzle are starting to fall into place, and maybe people are seeing reason. I don't know. I'm very optimistic. I'm more optimistic now, especially after these last elections in Germany, than I think I have been about a lot of our allies over there. So this isn't very encouraging.
I'll say, Dana, the one challenge though still is this. So you've had now growth in votes for conservative parties across the board. We saw the same thing in the EU elections. We've seen the same thing in national elections. We saw the same thing in France last year. But there is now this conspiracy of the left and the center to try to box out conservative parties from actually taking any of the seats in government once they actually do better in the elections. Because of the parliamentary system, they're able to do that, right? I mean, our system, when we win, we get more seats. We get to call the shots.
Right.
Because of the parliamentary system there, it's not working that way. You're seeing conservatives boxed out. You're seeing the AfD boxed out right now by the CDU, even though they're the center-right party. They're going to partner with the left party right now instead of working with the AfD. We've got to get to the point where the politicians in Europe are actually respecting the will of the voters. The voters are stepping up and screaming as loud as they can that they want conservative change. The politicians need to start actually honoring the will of the voters and get serious about that.
I let you mention the CDU. There's a video where they're saying none of us wants to close the border. And then the voters spoke. Yeah, they do. They absolutely do. Matt Maurers with the EU-US Forum. Always a pleasure. I look forward to talking with you again soon. You do such great work in raising awareness of what's happening, because we need strong allies. I mean, that's incredibly important for us, for our strength as a nation, for our national security. So these are good moves, but we got a lot more to come. Matt Maurers, always a pleasure. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Strength and vitality inside and out. Native Path Collagen delivers the two most essential collagen types that your body needs to support strong bones and flexible joints. With type 1 and 3 collagen without unnecessary fillers, you'll enjoy smoother movement, resilient skin, and the confidence that comes with looking and feeling your best. You'll love Native Path Collagen because it'll keep your joints feeling strong and your skin looking smooth. And you can use it daily in your morning coffee to start the day feeling your best. And best of all, Native Path offers incredible bundle deals that let you stock up and save big. So you can grab a 3-pack or even a 6-pack at a fraction of the price compared to other collagen brands. And it's the perfect way to stay consistent with your daily collagen routine while keeping more money in your pocket. Visit getnativepath.com/Dana today and stock up on Native Path Collagen for up to an incredible 45% off, plus get free shipping. Every order comes with a 365-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it risk-free today.
If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber car wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to calibercarwash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This has always been a fear of mine, and now it's like apparently a real thing. All of the gators and the sewers. I don't know. It's like University of Florida did this study. They found 34 other species in the storm sewage system, but also a, quote, abundance of alligators. And in fact, the study that University of Florida conducted, they said it was a shift towards human-modified environments and that it was, quote, like something out of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The abundance of animals down there was surprising, end quote. What did I tell you? Like, even in the puddles, man. They're there in the puddles, dude. It's like it in the storm drains, but gators. Ah.
And they're eating their sewage?
They're like, yeah, they're like all down there. I just don't, just if it, there's water, even if it's like a trickle, there's a gator in it. Just know this. It terrifies me. I'm like super hyper aware whenever I'm in Florida. I don't want to talk about the dog fighting thing because that makes me sad. And I'm going to want to say mean things about that guy. A resident in Collier County, Florida man, stepped in to help a gator that had a football stuck in its mouth. Now, some of us would say that's what you get, gator, for going at everything that you think you can. But a resident, it was a pretty large gator. the gator was struggling, and someone had noticed it was struggling for like a while with this football in its mouth. So he went over and was able to get the football from the gator. At first, he was going to try to pop it to deflate it because it was legit stuck in the gator's mouth. But he apparently was able to get it and then get to safety, and he saved the gator, according to 7 News in Miami. That's brave. I don't know that I would have done it. I mean, I probably would have from the safety of a tree with a long stick, but that's it. I'm just saying. A Florida man was busted after his fingerprints were lifted from a box of goldfish, like the crackers, like the goldfish crackers. The happened in Gulfport, Florida. The cops alleged that Michael Gonzalez, a.k.a. Gizmo, hit a 65-year-old when he was out walking, leaving the Family Dollar. He had $50 worth of cleaning supplies and a box of goldfish crackers. The 65-year-old was the manager of the store. He said the guy that Gonzalez was stealing, he confronted them. They did bust Gonzalez because he had his fingerprints on that. And a Florida man slaps a girl who was bullying his son. You cannot do this. This is where you get the sisters involved, right? Or this is why dudes have girlfriends. Your boys can't hit a girl, but a girl can hit a girl. Although I will think if you're a girl and you're beating up on a boy, then that's fair game. We're not doing that stuff. Like, you're just asking to get slapped if you're doing that. So don't do it. Like, if you want equality and all that stuff, slap. There's equality, girl. All right. I'm just saying, you know, I hate this where it's like, well, you can't hit me because that's sexism, but I can hit you all day long. Well, I'll talk more about this one in Florida Man tomorrow because it's kind of long. But yeah, that's why, especially when they're young, got to have big sister come in and handle it. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Third hour next. I like diversifying what I have. I mean, you carry guns and you carry blades, I'm sure, right? So I think this is a good option for people who get their hands tied through no fault of their own, whether it's they have to go somewhere for work or it's a municipal restriction, the dreaded gun-free zone signs. I have friends who live and work in D.C., and they've gone out, and New York. They've actually gone out and got the Byrna SD. So Byrna gun, they have different models. The SD is the best-selling one. And legal in all 50 states, no background checks, no permits. They can ship it right to your door. It doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. It is a good option for when you are barred from, unconstitutionally barred from taking your firearm with you. I have no problem carrying and using lethal force to protect myself, but I also have no problem diversifying my weapons array. I want to make sure that I'm protected under any circumstances. And that's kind of the, you know, that's kind of the hole that Byrna's looking to fill here, because they understand, you know, through no fault of your own, you know, sometimes you may be rendered defenseless because of municipal restrictions or private property, and they don't want you to be like that. So they have the Byrna SD. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. Again, different projectiles, different accessories, even different models. The SD is the most popular selling one. And this is a great time to reevaluate your options. Visit Byrna.com/Dana, BYRNA.com/Dana. You can get 10% off of your purchase there, only at Byrna.com/Dana.
If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber car wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership.
I think it's good that the Russians think that the Trump administration is in total alignment with the way that Putin sees things.
I think we've had, Jake, by my estimation, almost 1.5 million deaths here. And finally, we have a leader, that is President Trump, who is determined to end the carnage. And so the only way you're going to end the carnage is if you have a relationship with the leaders of both countries that are involved. I went over to Russia. I had a meeting with President Putin. It was a long meeting, positive, constructive. Lots of good things got discussed, in large part because the president enjoyed a positive relationship with President Putin.
So that's Steve Wickoff talking to Jake Tapper about this. This is over the weekend, over the ongoing conflict, the war between Russia and Ukraine. The question is weird. Like what? It was through the lens of it begged the question, because they're immediately assuming that Trump is in alignment with Putin. And then what kind of question is that? Tapper is like, is that good? That's basically what he asked. Tell me I'm wrong. That's what he asked. He's like, so, you know, begs the question, meaning he's assuming that the conclusion is true based off of a faulty premise, right? Begging the question is not posing the question. You're assuming, you're making an assumption about the conclusion of something because you're, by pushing forward that premise, you're saying that this premise is valid, thus the conclusion is true. So he's like, so do you think, so Russians think Trump is in total alignment with Putin, is that good? Like, what kind of question is that? Like, where do you get that from, Jake? Like, what? How do you even go about answering a stupid question like that? I wish Witkoff would have been like, what kind of the hell is that? What is that? It's CNN. You know, I don't know. What do you say? It's CNN. Welcome to the program. Back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this. We're at the top of this third hour. And I don't know, the way that this is ongoing, I'm very, you know, we were talking about Matt Maurer from the EU-US Forum. You have to have healthy friends and allies, especially in something like this, because that provides a level of security for you. I mean, we all know this, right? That's like, you know, you have friends out there that got your back, right? Or that have a mutual understanding, except for a long time, people have been taking advantage of us. They really have been. They've been taking advantage of us. You know, Kane, you know what my favorite argument from some of the lefty Europeans out there? They're like, well, that's payback for the revolution. You know, we helped you with the revolution. Are you serious? Are you serious with me right now?
Nope.
And it was just France, by the way. Shut up. I can't. I swear to you, there was like a couple of years ago, I can't remember who it was. It was some editorialist that had a whole think piece about that. I just, you know, got to roll your eyes. But this, I mean, what Maurer said was accurate about all of the movement with Ukraine, because we haven't had anything but photo ops and then spending of billions of dollars on whatever it is that they're doing. Although I think some of it was, you know, we talked about their pensions last week. So we're now actually, I feel like we're starting to see some progress. It felt like it's been a stalemate for so long. But I also think that there are a lot of leaders that have been perpetuating this conflict. And I think Keir Starmer and his whole party is one of them. I mean, that's, I and then this refusal to even fund your own defenses to a certain degree that helps you and puts you in a better position to better assist your allies under the NATO umbrella is wild that they even pushed back on that much. I don't know. I mean, this back and forth, finally seeing some of this get some move and maybe have them consider coming to a table to negotiate an end to this is significant. And in spite of some of the other bad advice, like from the Starmers and all of this. So I don't know. I think that Zelensky has been humbled a little bit after this last election. And then when he came and he was meeting with officials here in the United States last week, they've got the mineral rights deal, because apparently that's a big that was a big point of contention for Zelensky. He scoffed at that last week when Trump brought up maybe perhaps negotiating the mineral rights. And you guys know what the mineral rights are, things like rare earth metals, if it's like oil, if it's gas, things like that. Rubio had said Friday that that Zelensky was trying to pull out the rug from underneath them. And he said that he was, I think the way that pulling this up, it was characterized, like, for instance, over at Red State, excited to make a deal in private before saying something completely different to the press, which is something that he's been doing, you know, whatever his motivations on that. But this is, I mean, that's pretty huge. We've made a significant, I don't want to say investment, because investment suggests that we're going to get any of that back, and we're not. I mean, I think the total number, it's just under $100 billion, isn't it? The amount that we have given to them, or the way that Zelensky acts like it's an investment. He acts like he's going to pay it back. In fact, I think there's audio of this. Hang on. Let me pull this up.
Cut three is the flashback audio?
Yeah, this is the flashback. Audio soundbite three. So this was not long ago, but it's during under Biden. Listen.
If you can't give us some financial support, okay, please give us a credit and we will give you back money.
Oh, really? Okay. Just under $100 billion, right? What did we get for that? That's apparently what stands to be repaid. Do you really honestly think that they would pay that big giant sum back? I mean, what? I don't know. He rejected the argument. I think this was something that Scott Bessent had suggested. U.S. Treasury Secretary was talking about this was from Fox News Sunday Morning Future, saying that the U.S. could help propel Ukraine into a great growth trajectory. It's not a military guarantee, but it's an economic security guarantee with business. And Zelensky rejected it. Okay. There you go. They said that they were concerned because of the added language regarding formal U.S. security guarantees. That's, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think that he's been interested in securing a resolution to this conflict. I think now, only because of the change in the political climate, he looks like he is. We'll see where that goes. But this has just been, he is changing his tune now because he's seen this shift. The paradigm shifted. He sees it. I wanted to also move. We got to talk a couple of other things. So the DHS ad campaign that we talked about last week that I think is not a good idea because we don't need to spend it's $200 million. It's a $200 million DHS ad campaign. It was first floated out there by DHS Secretary or Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. She said that it was like this ad campaign to run ads about illegal immigration and that they want, you know, to like telegraph, don't come here. This is what happens if you come here. It seems pretty obvious. And Noem said on Friday night that, these ads were Trump's idea. And she said that Trump asked her to feature in the ads and thank him for closing the border. I don't think that I don't know. I'm trying to be very middle of the road here because it's kind of hard when you got the fog of, you know, information. Does it sound like she's like trying to pin that on him? Because she got a lot of criticism for that. Like a $200 million ad buy when we're trying to cut spending is not a good idea. Especially when you don't really need to do all of that. You don't need to have her sitting in front of a camera talking about how the policies have changed. The ASMR thing that they came out with last week, I thought was actually pretty brilliant. That was a pretty smart thing. I mean, it just went viral. That's like all they need, right? They don't really need they don't need all this other stuff. But she's saying that POTUS asked for this and asked for her to be in it. And I don't know about that. That just sounds like she got some criticism about it. And I just can't see Trump asking for that while also simultaneously demanding that Musk cut hundreds of billions of dollars. Kane's shaking his head. You don't buy it.
I don't get it. It makes no logical sense no matter what position you're coming from.
Yeah.
Because you can get earned media from just doing the job you're supposed to do.
And it's more authentic and that resonates more. Yeah. You don't need the $200 million professionally crafted. I can't even, what, $200 million ad buy?
Just let the media report on what you're doing. You don't need to advertise it or spend $200 million.
If you have video rounding people who entered the country illegally, rounding people up, I mean, that's going to go gangbusters. You don't need to get all the earned media from that. You don't need to buy a second of it. See, and the reason why I don't believe that Trump ordered her to do that is because Trump understands media. He understands optics. I mean, I think that he has a good team around him this time, better than the first time around in terms of optics. But ultimately, like the McDonald's thing, I think that was his idea. I mean, wasn't he one of the executive producers for Apprentice? I mean, he understands television and he understands production and he understands stagecraft. Reagan understood all those things. That's why I'm like, I don't think that he suggested that because he, I think, understands that the authentic earned media is so much more powerful than staging this like super expensive ad buy and like spending all this money on production. I don't know. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I was watching that. And I'm like, that's going to be another thing that the media is going to try to pick out. So just kind of have that, you know, in context. So coming up, We still are dealing with vestiges of wokery, my friends. And some of those are now in the art world. I was wondering when this was going to happen. So this, apparently there's a university that has slapped a trigger warning on Botticelli's Birth of Venus. They said that it has, it's nudity, and I have no idea why. We're going to talk about this because these people are going to be the death of all that is good. I'm so done with it. I feel like right when you get it beaten down into a hole, there's a tentacle that pops up. I don't know. We're going to talk about this here coming up. We also have headlines on the way. As we move, we got Today in Stupidity coming up. Our partners over at Superbeats, the same folks who did the Superbeat shoes now have Super Barine. And this is an all-natural product, plant-based, and it's formulated with an ingredient that helps to support your metabolism and helps to support blood sugar levels. It's 3 times more effective than your diet and exercise alone. And these are real results, super convenient, one easy-to-swallow capsule. It helps you do more to support metabolic health and blood sugar levels. They're clinically researched ingredients, and it features a clinically studied berberine that has this 10 times higher absorption rate than standard berberine. It's used by doctors from the makers of Superbeats. So head to your nearest Sam's Club, save on the Superbeats hard chews and the new Super Barine from Human. You'll love the way it makes you feel.
If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber car wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So remember how I was talking about with Matt Maurer and Zelensky, and then we brought up the debt and all of that stuff and the money that, you know, how much did it stand? Like basically $100 billion. Well, apparently Zelensky says, with all due respect, we do not recognize Ukraine's $500 billion debt to the U.S. What? I'm sorry, what? Yeah. Okay, we'll come back to that. We're going to come back to that now. Yeah, we'll come back to it. How small can a tiny home get? Stupid size. Yeah. So somebody is excited that they built the world's smallest house. It's a cabinet for a person. It's not a small house. It's like the size of an outhouse.
It's a coffin with a roof.
Yeah, it's a, you know what? That is it. It is a coffin. It's 19 square feet. How do you sleep in it? 19 square feet. When you walk into it, it's literally a bench and then one counter. That's it. The guy can't even stand up straight in it. You're in a little, that's like a dollhouse. That's not a tiny house. That's a shed. That's a he shed. Sir, that's a shed. This guy's brag. You know what? I'm saving this for tomorrow because I hate tiny houses so bad. If my hate was an energy, it would destroy them like the sun. I hate them that bad. I'm coming back to this, and I have a reason why. A tourist leaning out of a train for a selfie hit a rock. People, this 53-year-old woman was traveling on Sri Lanka's iconic Poti Maniki line, and then after she was literally hanging out of the train to get a selfie and hit a rock. No, she's dead. The rock hit her to death. Like as she was just thwap and it dead. Why? Stop it. Stop falling into canyons. Stop falling and hitting stuff with your head on trains. Just stop. It's sad. And that what is so frustrating is that this is preventable. Stop it. In Australia, if the animals don't kill you, the dirt will. Apparently, people are dying from a soil-borne disease after flooding in one area. This is coming from Australian media. Channel 9 News in Australia. It's in far north Queensland. Two people yesterday. One person kicked the bucket last week. 21 cases total. I don't even know if I'm saying this right. Melioidosis? I don't know. It's a serious infectious disease caused by soil bacteria in northern Australia. It enters into broken skin or contaminated water, and it can cause pneumonia. And it's a tropical disease, and it's from a bacteria called Burkholder. And it's found in like Southeast Asia and northern Australia, and it's gross. It's just gross stuff in the dirt. So stop. Stop touching dirt. It's like Australia is like the Florida of the world on roids. We've got Stephen Yates joining us next. Stick with us. What does living better mean to you? Is it more money, a bigger house? Now think about this. What about how you feel physically every day? Life is so much better when you feel good. When you wake up feeling great, you can do more of the things that you love and you're ready to take on the day. If pain is affecting your life, see how Relief Factor can help change that. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor supports your body's response to inflammation. And it doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it. And it's safe to take daily. In fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective it is. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Feel better every day and you'll live better every day. Trying Relief Factor is easy. Get their 3-week quick start for only $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Or visit relieffactor.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All of these things only benefit when you distill it all, Putin and Xi. And what message does it send to Xi Jinping when Donald Trump says to Ukraine that they are the aggressor, they who are in fact the victims of an invasion, are somehow the ones who started the war, and that the price for ending the war ought to be that Ukraine gives up territory, has no security guarantees, and oh, by the way, give over $500 billion to Donald Trump and the United States for nothing in return.
What history is she citing here? Because I thought we had given them a ton of money. She acts like, wait, what? What? It's Susan Rice. I mean, you can't expect a lot of clarity for that. Welcome back to the program. Damn, just roll my eyes right out of my head. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour talking. I can't take her seriously. Whenever I had to play it because it just is asinine. And really, I just want Stephen Yates to reply, to respond to it in his, you know, his absolutely perfect way. Because I can only imagine. You guys know our very good friend, Stephen Yates, at YatesComs on social media. And he served in not one, but two administrations. He is an expert on all things as it pertains to China. I mean, really foreign policy, but with a special, special distinction as it relates to China. And he joins us now from his secret lair. Stephen, always good to see you. I just kind of wanted to get your response to Susan Rice's, her, I guess, analysis of how she thought that this whole thing is operating, like that. I guess that she thinks that's the history with Ukraine and us and the administration.
Well, Dana, it just hurts my feelings and hurts my head to hear her talk, because it's just absolute nails on the chalkboard. She thinks we're all literally just stupid. We don't remember at all who was national security advisor to the president of the United States when Ukraine actually lost territory and there was an international agreement to come to their aid because they gave up the world's ultimate weapons. That was Susan Rice, national security advisor to Barack Obama, back in the 2014-25 timeframe. And so for her to try to go to high church, clearly the wrong church, the church of all lies, and try to come out and say this weird, wacky stuff at this point, she never gave two bits about emboldening Xi Jinping when they were not upholding reasonable standards in the South China Sea, when China's pushing for advantages there. Of course, this whole idea of money going places, well, she and her ilk would sure know about it. She was domestic policy advisor in the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris administration, when places like USAID seemed to misplace billions and billions of dollars for programs no one voted for. Since they really care about who voted for things now. But my goodness.
Yeah, that's a very good point. She was right there. I'm not quite. She was right there overseeing all of it. She had a hand in all of it. I mean, I'm not saying that she may have gotten her hands in the pot, but she may have. Why? I mean, I have this other headline. China's backing the U.S.-Russia consensus on Ukraine war. The way that China approaches it, and then the way that the press runs with it, they're trying to, in my estimation, correct me if I'm wrong on this, make it seem like, I guess, that Trump is aligned with Putin and Xi Jinping, and oh, look at this trifecta of evil that he's pulled us into. Is that the goal here?
Yeah, they're sort of going with the Russia, 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 but now they're going from a Chinese menu where you can pick one from column A and one from column B, and now you've got a mixed salad of Russia, China, Russia, China.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all bad because we're against democracy. Apparently, all of us are against democracy together, and that's what they're trying to spin. They've literally got nothing left, no ideas, no reality. They can't run on records, you know, and basically all this panic about first rounds of negotiations on things. The China playbook is simple. Opportunism. That's all they're doing is opportunism. And what our leader is doing is trying to upset the apple cart to get a deal that no one's really tried to get before. And so we're having to talk separately with European leaders that come through. We have to try to screw their heads on straight. We've had a little bit of talk with our Asian allies and partners to try to set some context for other things. But we're just methodically trying to set a new normal where we can actually have prosperity and peace, which is not what the Susan Rices of the world or the Samantha Powers of the world have brought us.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty accurate to say that her approach not only helped lay the foundation for that conflict, but it also prolonged it, because it seems like at some point it looked like there was going to be a winding down. And I think this was maybe right after Biden got in office, but then it's almost like the administration, the Biden-Harris administration, kind of kept it going and dragged it out even further. So you're right, because it feels like it's been a stalemate this entire time. And all it's been is Zelensky getting photo ops, asking for more money, and then audio coming out of him saying, well, no, we don't recognize that we have a debt to the United States. We don't owe them any money. I mean, it's like, what, hundreds of billions of dollars. And it just seems, you know, Trump is... It seems like he's trying to approach this from like a business negotiation, like with the mineral rights thing. Zelensky now seems to be changing his mind on this. So, I mean, it seems like there's actually progress on this. So that might be why you have the media running with, oh, well, China weighed in. We're going to run with China's, you know, their perspective on everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes we've had such good news because of what Elon Musk did with X and others have done to try to rescue free speech, that right. We had a popular vote victory last fall. These are huge blessings that we almost forget that the mainstream media and the DNC talk machine are essentially in the same condominium. And so whatever you would expect Adam Schiff to be talking about, that's what the mainstream media is going to be talking about. It's not the same oxygen that we normals inhale and live upon. And so that's what we're up against. And a lot of Europe inhales that same stuff and just keeps coming back to us. So we have to be as resilient and determined as the president has been on this stuff. He's not going to be 100% right 100% of the time, but he's sure driving this in a direction that's not just good for business, it's good for geopolitics. We want the killing to end. We want Europe to step up and take care of its neighbors. It's not isolationism. It is actual realism. Mm. And we want this for the good of humanity, but also so we can take care of ourselves here at home. We got a lot to clean up. And when we do, we're going to be a better friend and neighbor.
Yeah. I wanted to switch gears and look now towards the Pacific, because China's been holding these live fire exercises in the Gulf of Tonkin right after days after Vietnam is mapping new territory. Now, Vietnam is not apparently responded to the drills, but every water around China is disputed because China thinks it owns absolutely everything. So apparently they think that they own Vietnam's waterways too. Tell me about this, because they're making all their neighbors mad.
Yeah. Well, this is the part that all the galaxy brains in the DC Beltway and New York kind of conglomerate don't really understand why the rest of us are confused. They try to say, you know, it's America bad and America's picking fights and we just need to play nice with the world and uphold the air quotes rules-based international order and then things will be cool. But China keeps picking fights. They don't need to pick fights with Vietnam. They don't need to pick fights with the Philippines. but they are encroaching upon all these territories, their neighbors. And it's not because of America. I mean, what President Trump has been doing has been far away from these geographies for the most part. He'll get there, I promise. We're going to do some things that will be America first and awesome once we get around to it. But for now, these are all fights that China is picking. So Xi Jinping, I think, is maybe in a weaker position than we've assessed. Mm. And this is sort of trying to take what he can get and try to push where he can until an alignment of forces are really lined up. But I mean, Japan, Taiwan, Philippines, and you go down that line, there's an arc that has been unified in ways they've never been before. And it's not because of a brilliant memo or a strategy out of the Secretary of Defense's office or some august journal of excellent ideas in America, because Xi Jinping's been an ogre. And people are starting to kind of wake up and smell the coffee, so to speak.
Yeah. It said Australia was complaining about some of the naval exercises they were undertaking, but China just, blah, whatever, we're just going to kind of blow it off.
Then, well, people in America can be forgiven for forgetting how far away Australia is.
I know.
That's a long, long trip. So that's not like just around the corner for the Chinese military. That's going way out of your way to poke a finger in someone
else's. They're trolling.
Yeah, literally. Yes.
I mean, that's thousands of miles away from, I mean, you're going literally across an entire sea into other seas in order to, what is the purpose of them? I mean, there's no other purpose for them to go near Australia except to, you know, like a middle finger salute. That's it.
Well, it's a middle finger salute, but they agitate in all of our political systems. Australia has been on the receiving end of a lot of political warfare from the Chinese Communist Party. They try to agitate Chinese nationals to be more loyal to the country they came from than the country they now reside in. Mm. In some cases, they've taken on Australian citizenship, but they get worked over by these affinity organizations that are all about history, friendship, and culture. But really, they're about dividing and conquering the political systems of our allies and trying to make them soft on China and maybe more critical of themselves. And so we're getting a taste of that here in the United States. Australia's gotten a deeper dose of it.
Yeah, they've gotten a way deeper dose of it. It's been interesting to watch all of this. So I kind of wanted to get your take on just a few things before I let you go, because, you know, we've had those concerns. We had elections, but Germany had elections, and now they got their more conservative party taking some seats. It seems like some other European leaders are coming around on Ukraine. And it seems like we've done a lot in terms of getting people out of the way for not Belt and Road, their attempt to expand telecom systems, I guess, by using CCP leverage. What is this like? If you had to like look in your crystal ball, I feel like we are on better footing now, like going into the next several years, than we were. It seemed like it was getting very catastrophic, obviously under Biden and Harris. But I feel like, even though it happened, you know, it seems like it happened very quickly after the election, there's been a major shift. A major shift against, whether it's like, you know, the Putins and the Xi Jinpings of the world. It just feels like more and more these leaders and voters are waking up around the world like, okay, none of this is good. They're tyrants. Ugh, we got to get back to a position of normalcy here.
I agree. But I mean, I look at the movement as out there and Europe's the last of the dance, it seems like, on this. This isn't really about forcing people to choose between America and Russia or China or whatever else. It's encouraging people to choose for themselves, to go back to fundamental freedoms. I mean, when I listen to Malay talk and he's out there going, viva, viva, I love it. But he's basically telling them to get back to first principles. You know, you're meant to be citizens, not of the state, but you are citizens of a country and your rights come from God and all these other kinds of things. And in some parts of Europe, those are alive and well. So you had one part of the German electorate that really swelled on this. It just wasn't enough in their system to really be able to govern. But the seeds of this are germinating and growing. And it's going to take a while for them to overcome the systemic grinding away that the sort of Soros International has spread around there for far too long. But it's coming. And so it's happening in America. In the fall, Canada's going to vote and probably going to have a conservative government. We're going to have maybe the next generation, Bolsonaro, do some things on behalf of that movement in Brazil. We see these seeds in Europe. Maloney is great at times at talking the right talk. And if we can get these parts of the old left to turn, not again, not to America necessarily, but to their own roots and their own interests, we in the America First movement can deal with that. Yeah. Those are our friends. Those are our people. So I see a lot of that. It makes me happy. But we got a long way to go before we drag some of Europe and our hemisphere across the finish line.
It's a generational fight for sure. Stephen Yates at Yates Comms on X. Always good to see you, my friend. So we so appreciate your time every week. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, Dana. Take care. Mm-hmm.
Our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is in existence. And Patriot Mobile wants to make sure that you have great coverage. So this is nationwide coverage you can trust. They operate on all three major networks. You're connected wherever you go. And you're supporting what you believe in, because your dollars that you use to pay for your service isn't going towards DEI or gun control or anything like that. They actually put momentum behind the things that you vote to protect. Seamless switching. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. Keep your number, keep your phone, upgrade. It's entirely your choice. It's never been easier to switch, and they will totally take care of you. When you go to patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT, use promo code Dana, because that unlocks a free month of service for you. So switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT, code Dana to unlock your free month of service.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But also that my show had value, and that that what I was doing had value, and value. And in the end, I try not to cry on TV.
I mean, that's like you being overly emotional on TV is a change from you being overly emotional on TV. I'm just curious. I mean, normally it's just spitting invective and screaming. I mean, that's, you know, usually what she does. Joy Reid, she finally responded to getting canned at MSNBC because her ratings were in the toilet. I don't know how they could justify paying her $3 million. I can't believe she got $3 million a year to do what she did. There was no thought involved. It was just like basically reading the bathroom graffiti of a barely literate, economically or mathematically challenged Marxist. This is all it sounded like. You can't listen to stuff like that. I don't even know how somebody has that much rage in them to do that kind of programming day in and day out. It's exhausting. That would be exhausting. Yeah. Jiminy Christmas. No way. So the one part you didn't see, and we'll show it to you tomorrow, is there was some guy who like went up to her and handed her a tissue. Like somebody would hand James Brown stuff when he was on stage performing, and they'd hand him like a towel to wipe his head, or they'd come and wipe his head. Or like somebody would hand Elvis something, you know, there they'd put his cape on. It's like somebody came up and handed her a tissue while she is there bawling and squalling. I mean, I don't know. You knew it was going to be some kind of video as she's taken of herself whining. Ah, nature's healing. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
All right. And by the way, Juan, this is Cut 24. Our former vice president, Kamala Harris, he thought maybe since she's no longer in public office, maybe she'd stop with this word salad stuff. No. Here she is.
What goes through your mind when you see this? You're here. You're now seeing it up close.
It's not only seeing it, Alex, you can smell it. You can feel it, right? So yeah. It's seeing it with our eyes, and many people have seen it. You all are covering it.
Seen with our
but
eyes.
To literally be on the ground here, you can smell the smoke that was here. You can
feel. Oh my gosh, why is she like
the
this?
Toxicity, frankly. Of
I
the
mean, Alex, it's like not only can you see it with your eyes, but you can smell it with your nose. What do your other body parts do, Kamala?
You feel it with your skin?
I know, like I can point to it with my hands. It's crazy. She is so horrible. Oh my gosh, we really dodged it with that one, didn't we? Yeah, we did. Folks, have a great night. Find us on Substack, Trapper and Verse, YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.